Good evening, folks, and welcome back on this Saturday, the second day of October 2021. I'm your host, Mark Hall, and tonight's show is going to be a bit different, although it's not something I haven't talked about before. It's past time to withdraw consent, as the Declaration of Independence noted, or as the Bible put it, come out of her, my people, so that you do not participate in her sins and do not partake of her plagues. The plagues are beyond obvious at this point. So are the sins for those with eyes to see, although I still suspect we're going to have more on both counts. And the question is, what does it mean and how do we accomplish this come out of her process? Or even to just withdraw consent from in-your-face tyranny? One definite thing, though, I think has become obvious over the last weeks and months. Come out of her so that we don't participate in the poke of the beast, the Zyklon B injection, and all the tyranny that's associated with it has literally already become a matter of life and death. And we're certainly going to talk this evening about how not to consent to suicide by lethal injection, but that's kind of a minimum necessary condition, because we can obviously drink the Kool-Aid, or let it be injected into our veins, by swallowing lies, too. So let's start with a case in point, via one of the world's most evil corporations. Gulag-owned YouTube has taken the next obvious step towards total tyranny over truth and free speech. So they're now going to openly purge any video that might even have a hint of being anti-vax. They are calling it the zero-tolerance approach to channels flagged for COVID misinformation. Your brother took the poke and died? Oh, don't you dare tell anybody. I've got this related story, courtesy of Kentucky Senator Rand Paul, also a medical doctor, who took to task one of the deep state's big but not particularly competent liars in front of the Senate yesterday, Health and Human Services, SIC, Secretary Xavier Becerra, who obviously wouldn't know science if it stuck him right in the veins and poisoned him.
Mr. Becerra, are you familiar with an Israeli study that had 2.5 million patients and found that the vaccinated group was actually seven times more likely to get infected with COVID than the people who had gotten COVID naturally?
Senator, I'd have to get back to you on that one. I'm not familiar with that study.
No, what do I care about any information that contradicts what we've already decided to do? Senator Paul, though, was more subtle.
Well, you think you might want to be if you're going to travel the country insulting the millions of Americans, including NBA star Jonathan Isaac, who have had COVID, recovered, look at a study with 2.5 million people and say, well, you know what? It looks like my immunity is as good as a vaccine or not. And in a free country, maybe I ought to be able to make that decision. Instead, you've chosen to travel the country calling people like Jonathan Isaac and others, myself included, flat earthers. We find that very insulting, goes against the science. Are you a doctor or a medical doctor?
I've worked over 30 years on health policy.
You're not a medical doctor. Do you have a science degree? And yet you travel the country calling people flat earthers who have had COVID, looked at studies of millions of people, and made their own personal decision that their immunity they naturally acquired is sufficient.
And here, I think he's being too kind. Their natural immunity is not only sufficient, it's far, far better than anything provided by the poison poke. And that Israeli study he cited is among those that make that point.
But you presume somehow to tell over 100 million Americans who have survived COVID that we have no right to determine our own medical care. You alone are on high, and you've made these decisions, a lawyer with no scientific background, no medical degree. This is an arrogance coupled with an authoritarianism that is unseemly and un-American. You, sir, are the one ignoring the science.
Whereupon he proceeds to drive home the point by citing, yeah, imagine this, actual evidence.
The vast preponderance of scientific studies, dozens and dozens, show robust, long-lasting immunity after COVID infection.
And even the CDC, he notes, admits that, well, at least when it comes to other things than COVID, like smallpox or measles. He does then go on to make a couple of good suggestions. You know, blankety-blank and well, they're going to be ignored.
Try persuasion instead of government cudgels. Try humility instead of arrogance. Try freedom instead of coercion. But most of all, try understanding that there's no more basic medical right than deciding what we inject into our bodies.
This next part, though, is cute, and listen to the very telling response to his pointed question.
Today, after hearing that millions of people in a study prove show without a doubt that there's a great deal of immunity from getting it naturally? Do you want to apologize to the 100 million Americans who suffered through COVID, survived, have immunity, and yet you want to hold them down and vaccinate them? Do you want to apologize for calling those people flat earthers?
Senator, I appreciate your question and appreciate that everyone has their opinion.
And that means, hell no, I'll never apologize to the peons. They are supposed to be under our thumb and know it. And he's not about to do anything other than double down. Here we go.
Senator, I appreciate your question and appreciate that everyone has their opinion. We follow the facts and the science at HHS. Use the expertise of the medical professionals, the scientists at HHS to make decisions.
And we're not about to let actual facts, studies, or data stand in the way of that. After all, we got a couple hundred million people to kill. You flat earthers, you worse than senseless things, you. And why do you think we're so dead set against you peons having things like ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, or ultimately even vitamin D? From there, let's move on to a bit of good news from earlier in the week, at least on the protest front. It does seem like more and more people are starting to realize they really do intend to kill us, or at least finish destroying us, and we better do something about it, and fast. The media in the capital of the United States, so far as the media itself is concerned anyway, New York City, is eerily quiet tonight, says a piece from the Hal Turner radio show from late Monday, as tens of thousands of New Yorkers have taken to the streets to protest the vaccine mandate, Achtung, you will comply or else, which went into effect at midnight Monday night. How much did you hear about this on the criminally negligent networks, folks? Hint, not a peep from the toilet paper of record in the media capital of the world itself, the New York Times. I even did a search for the word protest and came up empty, just in case they put it on page F-47. I did see this fawning headline, though, right up close to the top of their front page. Thousands of healthcare workers in New York City get vaccinated. And as it turns out, deep down in that one, after telling us how all the good workers are taking their mandated poke, and even though there are some that know better and won't, that probably won't result in shortages, yeah, sure, they're lying because it already has, we'll come back to that. Well, anyway, at least there's a picture down in there, buried deep within the article, of a few disgruntled New Yorkers who have rallied against the unconstitutional, illegal, Nazi-like mandated poison poke. And they're probably lying about the numbers on that score, too, but hey, we're used to that. To their credit, although they didn't go nearly far enough, I did see this quote from Carmen De Leon, the president of Union Local 768, which represents respiratory therapists, social workers, and many other workers at the city's public hospital system, noted that some of those who were opposed to taking the poison poke would likely be able to find new jobs, guess what, in other states. Here's the quote. You had people working through the whole pandemic, and they did not get sick. And now you're telling them they have to get vaccinated, and they don't know what the outcome is going to be. Unquote. Well, maybe they do, folks, and that's the real problem. But whether it's tens of thousands or at least just thousands, no doubt a lot of New Yorkers have had more than enough. They're PO'd, they're taken to the streets, especially around Times Square. And there's no shortage of videos up online, at least for now, whether the media wants to acknowledge them or not. And I do have to bleep this one, but you probably heard this particular chant before. It seems to be taking a formerly free nation by storm. Earlier in the day, but also evidently on Times Square, a civil rights leader named Reverend Kevin McCall spoke out about religious exemptions and how he was demonized for helping people who don't want to take the clot shot because they trust in a different God. And your host has to admit, I found this particular chant quite interesting. It's nice to see that somebody at least has figured it out.
My body! My body! My body! My body! My body! My body! My name is Reverend Kevin McCall, and I came out here today because they thought they was doing something by pastoring my face on August the 28th on the Daily News, and because I was giving out religious exemptions, and they said, "What are the heavens are you doing?" And I told them, "I'm freeing my people."
Yeah. And he went on to add this.
I stand on biblical principles. I told De Blasio, I told Cuomo, that they can kiss me when the sun don't shine. I don't care if FBA, the CIA, or the FBI. If it's not approved by DOD, I don't want it inside of me.
By the way, there's a nice story up on Dr. Mercola's website, mercola.com, today that kind of helps to indicate the preacher's point. COVID jab, says his headliner, killing two people for every person allegedly saved. And remember, folks, how they rigged the figures even there. That story goes on to tell us something else that we've already realized. The Federal Death Administration, aka FDA, is losing the public's trust. Over time, even in the face of censorship, corruption, and outright mass murder, tend to do that. The media, though, is evidently a whole lot more anxious to cover the new Fuhrer of New York. And I gotta ask at this point, who would have ever thought that New Yorkers would be pining for the return of an absolutely disgusting sexual predator and mass murderer like Andrew Cuomo? But now they've got a tyrannical, sadistic, satanic cult leader in his place. And honestly, folks, she may be raising the bar, even beyond Gretchen the Witch and the evil dictator of California at this point. And substitute tyrant Kathy Hochul came out Monday, Mandate Eve, and made sure they understood what they now have instead.
And we'll be nation leading with our mandate, which strikes at midnight tonight, when everyone is expected in a hospital in the state of New York or a health care facility to have been vaccinated.
You will take the poison poke or else, and a whole lot of them are gone now. There was a New York hospital that had to shut down their maternity ward last week. Will there be more? Achtung, she says, not to worry, we have the National Guard who will step in.
I will be signing an executive order to give me the emergency powers necessary to address the shortages where they occur. That's going to allow me to deploy the National Guard, who are medically trained.
But that is not my first position, she says. No, I want you to submit voluntarily or else.
That is not my first position, though, my friends. My desire is to have the people who've been out there continue to work in their jobs, work in them safely, and to all the other healthcare workers who are vaccinated, they also deserve to know that the people they're working with will not get them sick.
Wait just a darn minute, you blithering idiot. If the vaccine actually did anything, they wouldn't have to worry about it, and everybody knows it. This is ignorance elevated to godhood. But on that score, this altar girl for the prince of this world is just getting rolling. Listen to this bit of in-your-face blasphemy masquerading as, oh yes, I'm so much holier than thou, you can't even stand it.
I've prayed a lot to God during this time.
I will suggest here, as kindly as I possibly can, that she's praying, but as sure as hell isn't to God who wrote the Bible.
I've prayed a lot to God during this time. And you know what? God did answer our prayers. He made the smartest men and women, the scientists, the doctors, the researchers, he made them come up with a vaccine.
He made them come up with Cyclone B. This is the final solution. Have we heard anything like this ever before, folks? Twice as many people early on, at a minimum, are already dying from the COVID poke as were ever even allegedly saved by it.
That is from God to us. He made them come up with a vaccine. That is from God to us. And we must say thank you, God. Thank you. And I wear my vaccinated necklace all the time to say I'm vaccinated.
Yes, I'm better than you. And do you think I'm exaggerating? Just keep listening.
And I wear my vaccinated necklace all the time to say I'm vaccinated. All of you. Yes, I know you're vaccinated. You're the smart ones, but you know there's people out there who aren't listening to God and what God wants. You know this. You know who they are.
You know where they live. Und you know what we must do to them. Just listen to this outright, not even hidden anymore, Fourth Reich crap.
You know this. You know who they are. I need you to be my apostles. I need you to go out and talk about it and say, we owe this to each other. We love each other.
Oh, yeah, I love you so much that if you don't listen to me, I'll send the Nazi stormtroopers to your door. They'll bust it down, maybe kill your kids, certainly shoot your dog, and then haul you off and slap you on a slab and inject you, whether you like it or not. How's that for love? I mean, really, they've already destroyed your business, and if you're a medical or healthcare professional, they're now destroying your job. Does anybody still really even remotely doubt what they're capable of and what history shows they will do? I'm not even going to play the rest of this, folks. Because it's even more insulting to the intelligence of New Yorkers who are willing to put up with this than what we've already heard. I want our kids to be safe, and I know that I'm so much better than you that I'm willing to kill you and your kids to prove it. But it's not just politically correct and highly vaccinated New York City and environs that seem to have had enough. In one of the world's most highly vaccinated nations, tens of thousands are now protesting in Tel Aviv over the vaccine passport in Israel that once upon a time required two shots to be considered fully vaccinated and thus human and able to go out and buy or sell. But that bar seems to be moving again, and who could have thought it? Answer, every conspiracy theorist or anybody who's been paying attention. At just the end of last month, writes Julian Conradson for the Gateway Pundit, Israeli health, sick, officials announced that any individual who had not received the third poke within 6 months of their second dose, Achtung, would no longer be considered fully vaccinated under their tyrannical vaccine passport system. And guess what? There are now rumblings that, oh yeah, that's not going to be enough either. It's going to take four until we change our minds again. But so far, says TGP, two-thirds or so of all Israelis have played along with the government's mandates and have been fully vaccinated. But now that there's a third shot in the regime, people are coming together to protest en masse against the restrictions that they finally realized they may have seen somewhere before, about 80 years or so ago. Videos online now show thousands of them marching through the streets of Tel Aviv in protest as a result. The propaganda, though, hasn't changed. One of the so-called local news outlets, Israel's Channel 20, tweeted the following. Thousands of right-wing activists are now marching in Tel Aviv in protest against the Bennett government, unquote. But at least they're admitting, folks, that there are thousands of people actually marching. And maybe those folks don't need to be reminded that a recent study by researchers at Tel Aviv University showed that those who have committed vaccine suicide, well, they were then at least called the fully vaccinated, are 13 times more likely to catch the so-called new variants of the Booga Booga flu and are far more likely even than that to be hospitalized than those who have what is called natural immunity. In other words, they let their immune system work the way that their creator designed it. They were exposed to the bioweapon, it didn't kill them, and now they needn't worry about it. A couple of quick related stories before we change gears. Vaccine mandates aren't just causing the resignation of the better doctors and nurses. There are a whole lot of honest cops nationwide that are saying the hell with your mandates as well, particularly in places like San Jose. Chuck Norris published a piece for WorldNet Daily entitled, Veteran Cop Resigns Over Vaccine Mandate. This is insanity, he says, citing the example of Sergeant David Gutierrez, who worked 23 years in the San Jose Police Department as a homicide detective, internal affairs investigator, and patrol supervisor, before working his last shift last Saturday, and then sending a letter to the city manager last Monday denouncing the city's vaccine mandate, which requires city employees to show proof of vaccination or get a medical exemption, and those who don't face compulsory disciplinary action, including termination. Sergeant Gutierrez notes he's not alone, that there are about 200 other officers in the San Jose Police Department who have asked for exemptions, many of them for religious purposes. But the socialist mayor, Sam Liccardo, says that the vaccine mandate is working. And no, they don't anticipate an exodus from the force. They probably don't anticipate a mass die-off either, but that doesn't mean they're right on either count. Sergeant Gutierrez says he believes there'd be at least 100 others who will walk off the job when you walk up to them with a needle. And he adds, we're already understaffed and can't afford to lose more. If they let go of police officers who've been here for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, you can hire somebody else. Well, maybe, folks, but you're not going to hire that experience. But arguably, perhaps the goal is what they've already got in Australia, writes LeoHolman.com. We've all seen the videos from Australia, police chasing down and beating a helpless woman, shooting construction workers in the face with rubber bullets who violate that country's draconian lockdown rules. A 12-year-old girl gets pepper sprayed for not wearing a mask, and there's video after video online. Don't be fooled, he adds, into thinking this is just an Australian thing and could never happen anywhere else. Look at what's already going on in Israel, where IDF soldiers are being forcibly jabbed in the middle of the night. There have been scenes caught on video in Canada, including the case of Pastor Arthur Pawlowski, who was arrested and dragged off by a SWAT team from the middle of a busy highway. You'd think you were looking at the East German Stasi in action. And this probably shouldn't surprise anybody who's seen the senile communist Chinese marionette-in-chief in action. Everything the Australian, Israeli, and Canadian governments are doing in terms of using force to brutally put down all resistance to their draconian mandates and restrictions are things that the current regime in Washington not only wants to do, they've made that clear, they intend to, but they claim they have the legal authority, whatever the hell that means in post-constitutional America, to do. Biden's people admit he's been in discussions about closing down interstate travel to the unvaxxed and certainly barring them from air travel. In the new America, these are no longer rights, they say. They are privileges. And if they think they can get away with it, and nobody disagrees with this, you know darn well they'll try it. I mean, really, how long now have we heard about CDC overreaches? From quarantine and mask orders to outright communism in the form of we own the property and will tell landlords whether or not they can charge rent. According to the CDC website, says the piece, Congress granted authority, which they don't have, by the way, to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, which then delegated that power to the CDC to establish quarantine and isolation protocols, also known as internment camps, and the CDC claims they have the right to use state and local police to enforce their protocols, and make no bones about the nature of their assumed powers when they state on the website rather bluntly, quote, in addition to serving medical functions, isolation and quarantine are also police power functions derived from the right of their state to take action affecting individuals for the benefit of society. What a crock of unmitigated, unconstitutional bullshit, folks. And then they say this. Listen carefully and try not to either throw up or laugh outright. Quote, the federal government derives its authority for isolation and quarantine from the Commerce Clause of the United States Constitution. Unquote. And what an unmitigated, bald-faced, well, I've already said it, piece of you-know-what. Remember, folks, literally everything that's already being done now in America was called a right-wing conspiracy theory by the regime and their compliant media less than a year ago. Now they're totalitarian facts. Speaking of which, by the way, do a web search for this one before they take it down from YouTube. Hal Turner says he saved it just in case. There's a video from Walmart showing literally pallet upon pallet upon pallet stacked high and stretching off into the distance of what are, when the close-up zooms in, cadaver bags in boxes of 10. Adult size, this says, plastic straight zipper, 36 by 90 inches. And not, folks, like we haven't seen these reports before, dating all the way back to Jesse Ventura and his TV show, long since proven by and large correct and, of course, thus canceled, conspiracy theory. Ask Hal Turner himself, why on earth would Walmart be stocking body bags? Do they anticipate people coming in to buy them? Or are the powers that be pre-positioning these things because they know that those who already took the poke are only months away from heart failure, heart attack, strokes, pulmonary embolisms, or simply dying from myocarditis? Or what if, as winter comes and the typical flu season erupts, those who took the poke succumb to the flu, or better still, the flu shot, because their immune systems are compromised and of something called ADE? Might we literally have hundreds dead in the streets? Well, he says this COVID-19 thing is not what they've represented it to be. It looks to many people as if the disease was invented to get the so-called vaccine into people, and it is and will continue to be, the Zyklon B poke itself that is doing so much deadly harm. So let me just ask the question this way. How many conspiracy theories do you have to watch time after time after time proven to be conspiracy facts and then labeled misinformation by the same media that's been lying about it all along? Anybody remember how the traitor Fauci didn't fund gain-of-function research? And no, the communist Chinese and their Wuhan bioweapons lab had nothing to do with it? Well, how many times and how many sets of multiple witnesses does it take before people finally realize, maybe they really are trying to kill several hundred million Americans. And that just might explain why they got so many body bags on order. Remember, folks, Hitler's Nazis had to first mark the Jews with the yellow stars. Well, the masks have accomplished that. And by that time, they'd already been pre-disarmed. They coerced them to get en masse on trains and ride to places like Auschwitz, Bergen-Belsen, and Dachau, where they could get into the Zyklon B showers, more or less voluntarily. And by now, I hope we all know what that means. But Big Brother in America has gone far, far better than that. Their propaganda, their so-called science, is way beyond anything the Nazis would have salivated over. They're getting the dumbed-down peons to line up and take the Zyklon B poke right into their veins. And just like the Hitler Jungen, they've got the indoctrination centers working really hard to first addle their brains and destroy their ability to communicate or even think, and then the parents will bring them the rest of the way for their own Zyklon B poke. And we'll pick it up right there when we get back.
Just like yesterday, then I'll get on my knees and pray. We don't get fooled again.
Welcome back now to the second segment for this evening. I'm your host, Mark Hall, and we're talking tonight about, well, basically, and let's be honest, withdrawing consent from the Fourth Reich. The Third one, remember, helped take the lives of tens of millions of people, but didn't have near the ruthlessness or technological advantage that we're now seeing clearly from the Fourth one. So I'll ask it again. How many historic examples of incredible tyranny and evil do people have to see before they withdraw their consent, before it's too late? And what do they need to know in order to decide to do it? So let's start right there with a story that I think is incredibly important, not just because it provides such a great detailed analysis of so many things that, admittedly, many regular listeners here are probably already familiar with, and as such, it's a great summary of the state of medical tyranny in the formerly free world, but also because it's gone viral on the web, and that means it's being heavily censored, too. And as a result, it's helped to awaken, and I use that word specifically, rather than to woke people back into somnambulance and acceptance of a poison poke from the almighty deep state, their new fake god. But this one goes even beyond the testimony of the many excellent doctors and virologists and epidemiologists who've pointed out that taking the poison poke isn't merely stupid, it's very likely self-inflicted suicide, to being a potential game changer. You may have even heard the title somewhere, I Am Spartacus. And it goes like this, hello, my name is Spartacus, and I've had enough. We've been forced to watch America and the free world spin into inexorable decline due to a bio-warfare attack. We, along with countless others, have been victimized and gaslit by propaganda and psychological warfare operations being conducted by an unelected, unaccountable elite against the American people and our allies. Our mental and physical health have suffered immensely over the course of the past year and a half. We have felt the sting of isolation, lockdown, masking, quarantines, and other completely nonsensical acts of healthcare theater that have done absolutely nothing to protect the health or well-being of the public from the ongoing COVID-19, 84, plandemic. Now we're watching the medical establishment inject literal poison into millions of our fellow Americans without so much as a fight. We've been told that we'll be fired and or denied our livelihoods if we refuse to, vaccinate. This was the last straw. We spent thousands of hours analyzing leaked footage from Wuhan, scientific papers from primary sources, as well as the paper trails left by the medical establishment. What we have discovered would shock anyone to their core. And first, they say, we will summarize our findings, and then we will explain them in detail. References are placed at the end. And this summary alone, folks, is worth the price of admission, which thankfully is zero. But I encourage you to look this up online and read it, because I'll say it again, it really does have the potential to be a game changer. Says the summary, COVID-19 is a blood and blood vessel disease. SARS-CoV-2 infects the lining of human blood vessels, causing them to leak into the lungs. Current so-called treatment protocols, e.g. invasive ventilation, are actively harmful to patients, accelerating oxidative stress and causing severe VILI, or ventilator-induced lung injuries. It's been said for a while, folks, that it's a death sentence to put somebody on a ventilator. Since early on, it's been reported that 80% of those so sentenced die. Says Spartacus, the continued use of ventilators in the absence of any proven medical benefit constitutes mass murder. Existing countermeasures, it continues, are inadequate to slow the spread of what is an aerosolized and potentially wastewater-borne virus and constitute a form of medical theater. Various non-vaccine interventions have been suppressed by both the media and the medical establishment in favor of vaccines and expensive patented drugs, you know some of the names, HCQ and particularly ivermectin. The authorities have denied the usefulness of natural immunity against COVID-19, despite the fact that natural immunity confers protection against all of the virus's proteins and not just one. Vaccines, they continue, will do more harm than good. The antigen that these vaccines are based on, SARS-CoV-2 spike, is a toxic protein. SARS-CoV-2 may have ADE or antibody-dependent enhancement. Current antibodies may not neutralize future strains, but instead help them to infect cells. Also, vaccination during a pandemic with a leaky vaccine removes the evolutionary pressure for a virus to become less lethal.
They continue, there's a vast and appalling criminal conspiracy that directly links both Anthony Fauci and Moderna to the Wuhan Institute of Virology. I have to say, duh, after that one. But, of course, the waste stream's been lying about it for a year and a half now, so nobody should be surprised. COVID-19 vaccine researchers, they note, are directly linked to scientists involved in brain-computer interface, and they put this in quotes, neural lace technology, one of whom was indicted for taking grant money from China. Independent researchers have discovered mysterious nanoparticles inside the vaccines that are not supposed to be there. And the entire plandemic, says the last bullet point, is being used as an excuse for a vast political and economic transformation of Western society that will enrich the already super rich and turn the rest of us into serfs and untouchables. Where the story goes next is interesting, but it may surprise some people, so hang on. COVID-19, they write, is not a viral pneumonia. It is a viral vascular endotheliitis and attacks the lining of blood vessels, particularly the small pulmonary alveolar capillaries, leading to endothelial cell activation and sloughing, coagulopathy, sepsis, pulmonary edema, and ARDS-like symptoms. That's capital ARDS, by the way. This, they say, is a disease of the blood and blood vessels, the circulatory system, and any pneumonia that it causes is secondary to that. In severe cases, this leads to sepsis, blood clots, and multiple organ failure, including hypoxic and inflammatory damage to various vital organs, such as, but not limited to, the brain, heart, liver, pancreas, kidneys, and intestines. Some of the most common laboratory findings in COVID-19 are elevated D-dimer, elevated prothrombin time, elevated C-reactive protein, neutrophilia, lymphopenia, hypocalcemia, and hyperferritinemia, essentially matching a profile of coagulopathy and immune system hyperactivation along with immune cell exhaustion. And due to the wide tropism in the SARS-CoV-2 for various tissues in the body's vital organs, COVID-19 can present as almost anything. While its most common initial presentation is respiratory illness and flu-like symptoms, it can also present as brain inflammation, gastrointestinal disease, and even heart attack or pulmonary embolism. COVID-19 is more severe in those with specific comorbidities such as obesity, diabetes, and hypertension. This is because these conditions involve endothelial dysfunction, which renders the circulatory system more susceptible to infection and injury by this particular virus. Still, though, the vast majority of COVID-19 cases are mild and do not cause significant disease. In known cases, there is something known as the 80-20 rule. Hey, your host talks about that a lot, where 80% of the cases are mild and 20% are severe or critical. However, this ratio is only correct for known cases, not necessarily all infections. And the number of actual infections is much, much higher. Consequently, the mortality and morbidity rates are lower. However, COVID-19 spreads very quickly, meaning that there are a significant number of severely ill and critically ill patients appearing in a short time frame. In those who have critical COVID-19-induced sepsis, hypoxia, coagulopathy, or ARDS, the most common treatments are intubation, injected corticosteroids, and blood thinners. This is not the correct treatment for COVID-19. Quick aside here, folks. They put me on a blood thinner in the hospital. I was unconscious at the time and unable to object, but I did when I woke up and found that what they'd accomplished instead was giving me a bleeding ulcer, which cost me another week in the hospital and who knows how many thousands of extra dollars. Looking back, though, I'm thankful, very thankful, for the prayers of those who helped me get out of there alive. In severe hypoxia, continue those writing of Spartacus, cellular metabolic shifts cause ATP to break down into hypoxanthine, which, upon the reintroduction of oxygen, causes xanthine oxidase to produce tons of highly damaging radicals that attack tissue. This is called ischemia reperfusion injury, and it's why the majority of people who go on a ventilator are dying. In the mitochondria, succinate buildup due to sepsis does the exact same thing. When oxygen is reintroduced, it makes superoxide radicals. Make no mistake, they say, intubation will kill people who have COVID-19. And I think that bears repeating, folks, because when I went to the hospital, that was the one thing my wife correctly was most specific about. Whatever happens, do not put this guy on a ventilator. Quote, intubation will kill people who have COVID-19. Interestingly, that reminds me that I do recall one of the first things that happened when I woke up was being asked about a DNR order. Did I want one? Hell no, but I certainly don't want to be on a ventilator. The end stage of COVID-19, continues the authors, is severe lipid peroxidation, where fats in the body start to rust due to damage by oxidative stress. This drives autoimmunity. Oxidized lipids appear as foreign objects to the immune system, which recognizes and forms antibodies against OSEs, or oxidation-specific epitopes. Also, they continue, oxidized lipids feed directly into pattern recognition receptors, triggering even more inflammation and summoning even more cells of the innate immune system that release even more destructive enzymes. This is similar to the pathophysiology of lupus. COVID-19's pathology, they say, is dominated by extreme oxidative stress and neutrophil respiratory burst to the point where hemoglobin becomes incapable of carrying oxygen in the bloodstream due to heme iron being stripped out of heme by hydrochloric acid. And no amount of supplemental oxygen can oxygenate blood that chemically refuses to bind to O2. But if you thought that was technical, folks, I'm actually going to skip over the next few paragraphs. If you have an interest in how the disease actually progresses and what it does on a microscopic and cellular scale, I encourage you to read through this and try to understand it. What it boils down to, though, is acute sepsis. And the correct treatment, the authors continue, for severe COVID-19-related sepsis is non-invasive ventilation, steroids, and antioxidant infusions. They list a number of the drugs that have shown benefit that are, in fact, antioxidants, including things like budesonide, N-acetylcysteine, or NAC, and melatonin, among others. And at this point in the story, they do make one other interesting observation. Because of the way they're constructed, randomized control trials will never show any benefit for any antiviral against COVID-19. Not remdesivir, not Caletra, not HCQ, and not ivermectin. The reason for this is simple. For the patients that they have recruited for these studies, such as Oxford's ludicrous recovery study, and I actually talked about that one in the hospital with one of my doctors, folks, the intervention is simply too late to have any positive effect. And here's the key. The clinical course of COVID-19 is such that by the time most people seek medical attention for hypoxia, their viral load has already tapered off to almost nothing. And think of the implications of that, folks. If someone is about 10 days post-exposure and has already been symptomatic for 5 days, there's hardly any virus left in their bodies, only cellular damage and derangement that has initiated a hyperinflammatory response. And it is from this group that the clinical trials for antivirals have recruited, pretty much exclusively. So in these trials, they give antivirals to severely ill patients who have no virus in their bodies, only a delayed hyperinflammatory response, and then absurdly claim that antivirals have no utility in treating or preventing COVID-19. These clinical trials do not recruit people who are pre-symptomatic. They do not test pre-exposure or post-exposure prophylaxis. This is like using a defibrillator to shock only flatline, and then absurdly claiming that defibrillators have no medical utility whatsoever when patients refuse to rise from the dead. The intervention is already too late. And among other things, that means that these trials for antivirals show systematic, egregious selection bias, providing a treatment that's futile to the specific cohort they're enrolling. Here they talk importantly and specifically about ivermectin. India went against the instructions of the WHO and mandated the prophylactic usage of ivermectin. And as a result, they've almost completely eradicated COVID-19. The Indian Bar Association of Mumbai has brought criminal charges against WHO's chief scientist, Sikh, Dr. Soumya Swaminathan, for recommending against the use of ivermectin. And further, they note, ivermectin is not a horse dewormer. Yes, it is sold in veterinary paste form as a dewormer for animals. It's also been available in pill form for humans for decades as an antiparasitic drug. And the media have disingenuously claimed that because ivermectin is an antiparasitic drug, it has no utility as an antivirus, which is incorrect. Ivermectin has utility as an antiviral. It blocks importin, preventing nuclear import, effectively inhibiting viral access to cell nuclei. And many drugs currently on the market have multiple modes of action. Ivermectin is one such. It is both antiparasitic and antiviral. And here they make an interesting comparison. In Bangladesh, ivermectin costs $1.80 for an entire 5-day course. When I was finally able to get some in the United States, folks, I had to pay well over $300 for that same 5-day course. Remdesivir, which they note correctly is toxic to the liver, costs $3,120 for a 5-day course of the, well, basically killer drug. Billions of dollars of utterly useless remdesivir were sold to our governments on the taxpayers' dime, and it all ended up being totally useless for treating hyperinflammatory COVID-19. And the media has hardly even covered this, they say, at all.
And here's the key when it comes to that particularly important drug, folks. The opposition to the use of generic ivermectin is not, say the authors here, based on science. It is purely financially and politically motivated. I'll say it more bluntly. They want people dead. An effective non-vaccine intervention would jeopardize the rush FDA so-called approval of patented vaccines, sick, and medicines for which the pharmaceutical industry stands to rake in billions upon billions, well, even trillions of dollars in sales on an ongoing basis. Oh, yeah, and it's going to kill millions upon millions, too. So far as they're concerned, that just might be an added benefit. The majority, though, back to the authors of the public, are scientifically illiterate and cannot grasp what any of this even means, thanks to a pathetic educational system that has miseducated them. You'd be lucky to find even 1 in 100 people they know who have even the faintest clue of what any of this actually means. Next, there follows a brief section on COVID-19 transmission mechanisms. Most of this we've probably heard, including the fact that these 6-foot guidelines, as the authors put it, are absolutely worthless. The minimum safe distance to protect oneself from an aerosolized virus is 15-plus feet away from an infected person, no closer. Realistically, then, no public transit is safe. And surgical masks, obviously, do not protect you from aerosols. The virus is simply too small and the filter media too large to filter it out. They may catch respiratory droplets, like, for example, from somebody who sneezes, but they won't filter a cloud of infectious aerosols. The minimum level of protection, it says, against the virus is quite literally a P100 respirator, a PAPR/CAPR, or a 40-millimeter NATO CBRN respirator, ideally paired with a full-body Tyvek or Tychem suit, along with gloves, booties, and all the holes and gaps taped. And there's more, but I think you get the picture. What's been done is a control mechanism based on medical theater. At this point, there follow several pages of what amount to the dangers of the so-called vaccine. I'm sure many of you have heard much of this information, and I often like to summarize it, albeit somewhat tongue-in-cheek, by saying, you may very well be better off playing a Russian roulette than taking the Zyklon B stroke poke. Still, though, there's a lot of information in here that absolutely bears repeating, especially when it comes to those who might now appropriately be termed the terminally gullible, and who can't imagine that the same people who would lie to them about ivermectin might actually want them dead. So let's start with this element that your host has talked about for quite a while, but that the authors use a slightly different terminology to explore. The vaccines for COVID-19, they note, are not sterilizing, and they do not prevent infection or transmission. They're what are called leaky vaccines. Actually, they're not vaccines at all, as you know. But that means they remove the evolutionary pressure on the virus to become less lethal. It also means that the so-called vaccinated are perfect carriers. In other words, those who are said to be vaccinated are a threat to the unvaccinated and not the other way around. One thing, though, is beyond dispute. All of these so-called COVID-19 vaccines currently in use have undergone minimal testing, along with highly accelerated clinical trials, if any. And as a result, the long-term safety profile of these gene therapies remains, at best, unknown. And some of these misnamed vaccines utilize an untested new technology never before put into the human body on such a massive scale. Traditional vaccines use weakened or killed virus to stimulate an immune response, but the Moderna and Pfizer and BioNTech vaccines do not. They are purported to consist of an intramuscular shot containing a suspension of lipid nanoparticles filled with messenger RNA. The way they generate their immune response is by fusing with cells in the vaccine recipient, aka guinea pig's, shoulder, undergoing endocytosis, releasing their mRNA cargo into those cells, and then utilizing the ribosomes in those cells to synthesize a modified SARS-CoV-2 spike protein in situ. In other words, they turn the carrier into literally a living spike protein production factory, like a walking, talking bioreactor. Continue the authors, these modified spike proteins then migrate to the surface of the cell where they're anchored in place by a transmembrane domain. The adaptive immune system detects the non-human viral protein being expressed by these cells and then forms, at least hopefully, antibodies against that protein. This is purported to confer protection against the virus by training the adaptive immune system to recognize and then produce antibodies against the spike protein of the actual virus, even though the same body is producing something very similar itself. By the way, the J&J and AstraZeneca vaccines do something similar, but use an adenovirus vector for genetic material delivery instead of a lipid nanoparticle.
And these vaccines were either produced or validated, if you're not aware of it, with the aid of fetal cell tissue lines HEK293 and PER.C6, which some people with religious convictions might object strongly to. And that, of course, folks, is only one of many reasons to object strongly to these things, including what some might see as a biblical prescription against suicide. And yeah, there's that precursor, obviously, to the Mark of the Beast thing, since they're already openly talking about not allowing the unvaxxed to buy or sell without taking that mark. The problem, though, is that the SARS-CoV-2 spike protein is highly pathogenic on its own. And it's impossible, say the authors, to overstate the danger presented by introducing this protein into the human body. You've probably heard, folks, the great big stinking lie claimed by the vaccine manufacturers that it remains in the cells in the shoulder. And it's also harmless and inert, thanks to some things that I'm not going to dignify by repeating. However, a pharmacokinetic study from Japan showed that the lipid nanoparticles and mRNA from the Pfizer vaccine did not stay in the shoulder and, in fact, bioaccumulated in many different organs throughout the body, including especially the reproductive organs and adrenal glands, meaning that modified spike is being expressed quite literally all over the place. These lipid nanoparticles, say the authors, may trigger anaphylaxis in an unlucky few, but far more concerning is the unregulated expression of spike in various somatic cell lines far from the injection site, with all of the unknown consequences that accompany that. And yeah, folks, thus the ever-so-appropriate nicknames, the stroke poke or the clot shot. And there's a whole lot more that could be said, and they do, on that score. Like the fact that inadequately preserved COVID-19 vaccine mRNA can become damaged or stalled. And when that happens, the ribosome becomes useless for translating proteins because now it has a piece of mRNA stuck to it, kind of like a damaged card in an old punch card reader. The whole thing has to be cleaned up, and the body has to synthesize new ribosomes to replace it. And in cells with low ribosome turnover, like nerve cells, this can lead to reduced protein synthesis, cytopathic effects, and neuropathies. And if that sounds worse than the booga booga flu itself, you're probably on the right track. SARS-CoV-2 spike also has a super antigenetic reason, or SAG, which may promote extreme inflammation. And anti-spike antibodies were found in one study to function as autoantibodies and attack the body's own cells. Those who've been immunized, sick, with COVID-19 vaccines, sick, have developed blood clots, myocarditis, Guillain-Barré syndrome, Bell's palsy, and multiple sclerosis flares, indicating that the vaccine promotes autoimmune reactions against healthy tissue. But there's more. The spike doesn't just bind to ACE2. It can bind to other things as well, triggering unspecified and likely highly inflammatory cellular activity. It also has a prion-like domain that enhances its infectiveness. That's been called a pretty clear sign of human tampering, and can bind to other things too, leading to Parkinson's, Lewy body dementia, premature Alzheimer's, or various other neurodegenerative diseases. Hey, I know, folks, let's inject pregnant women and little kids with this crap. And guess what? We've really only scratched the surface of the dangers of this mass human experiment, all of which leads us logically next to the criminal conspiracy, where they note up front that the vaccine sick and the bioweapon virus itself were made by, who could have thought it, the very same people. In 2014, there was a moratorium on SARS gain-of-function research that lasted until 2017. This research was not halted. Instead, it was outsourced, with the federal grants being laundered through various NGOs. You may have heard some of the names. And you may even know that a lot of the people who were involved committed outright in-your-face, and so far, unpunished felonies. There are interesting scientific links to what's called transhumanism, but we really don't have time for that either, so let's cut to the chase. The current plandemic, conclude the authors, was produced and perpetuated by the establishment through the use of a virus engineered in a PLA-connected Chinese bio-warfare laboratory with the aid of American taxpayer dollars and French expertise. And these crimes against humanity served a number of obvious purposes for the elite, from concealing the depression brought about by unlimited money printing to destroying small businesses, eroding the middle class, transferring trillions of dollars of wealth from the American public into the pockets of the super billionaires, creating a casus belli for war with China, and establishing technological and biosecurity frameworks for population control and the global economic reset already in progress. This isn't just history rhyming, folks. This is Biden's Gestapo ramming it right into your bloodstream. Is it time to stand up and say no yet? Scripture tells us, choose this day whom you will serve. and we'd better, because time is running out.